As she was just singing there, I was just thinking, you know, our God is a God of new beginnings. Isn't He a God of new beginnings? Day by day. Do you believe that? What I love about that is His mercies are new every morning, regardless of what I've been through, right? He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. So if she was singing that for this church, if this is your church, Chino Valley Family Church, I'm just declaring over this church new beginnings in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank You for that, Father God. In my life, in your life, you know, we're a church, a body. There's different bodies, but if you belong here, we're a body together. We're not individuals. We are individuals, but it talks about the Word of God saying, coming together, we've got different parts that form a body together. Man, we're not strong when we're apart. We're actually strong when we're together, when we're part of one another, to help one another, to grow in one another. As you can see, Pastor Lee's not here today, but he'll be back next week. Don't be disappointed. The Lord still wants to speak to us, doesn't He? Amen. The Lord still wants to speak. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ here, if you know the Lord. But I'm praying for Pastor Lee. Pray with me right now. Lord, we thank You for Pastor Lee and Jackie. Time of refreshing in their lives in Jesus' name. Fresh vision in their lives in Jesus' name. Father God, just as I've been here for 10 years, the weight and the strain that can be on a senior pastor. Father God, I speak refreshing, times of refreshing in Jesus' name. I declare that over their lives. Father, we thank You for that. Speak that out of Your mouth. If that's your pastor, Lee and Jackie, Lord, just right now say, speak. We speak refreshing right now in Jesus' name. Fresh vision in Jesus' name. Fresh strength in Jesus' name. Coming back to our area, Father God, just refreshed and strengthened. We thank You for blessing Jackie and their children, blessing them and their children, their finances, all that pertains to them. We thank You for blessing them today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woo, I'm excited to be here with you. Believe it or not, I am. Me and my beautiful wife, Gina, she's the piano player. Hey, there's been a few people from time to time will say, is that Pastor Lee's wife? I said, no. Not all piano players are the pastor's wife, right? And I understand we have a birthday today, two birthdays. Ibby Champy, is it your birthday? So, and let's not forget, Bill Boy's his birthday today too. Woohoo! So I didn't ask. They wanted to tell me how old Ibby was. I said, don't tell me how old she is. Hey, can we do this? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ibby. Did I say it right? Happy birthday to you and many more. And before we get started, I just have to say Tim and Nora, my friends, are back here, right? Wayne and Jeanette Dirksen, they're here. Thank you for being here. Good friends. A lot of you don't know them, but I know them for a long time. I have to tell a quick story because Wayne had reminded me. Is we have this thing. We haven't done it in a long time because a friend of mine, I won't mention his name, Mr. Bob Reed. But anyway, he had I got a hold of some M80s, real M80s. You know, M80, I'm talking about the ones that you don't hold in your hand, for sure. Those ones that, like, can blow a mailbox, like, you know, off its hinges. When you're standing, you know, 20 feet away from it, you can still feel the percussion. But anyway, I was able to get some of these from Mexico. And me and my friend Wayne Dirksen, we did this for some years. But as we would take this M80, we'd take half a sheet of cake, and we'd put candles in it, but we'd put an M80 in there too. Meanwhile, in the kitchen, there was another half sheet birthday cake. And so we'd have people around this cake, and we would light those candles, and then, Wayne, am I telling the story right? And then we would light the M80 that would be stuffed down in the cake, one or two of them. I don't remember one. And so people be around that not knowing what's coming. And then that thing that Aunt Mady would go off and that birthday cake would just, I mean, everywhere. Everywhere. But that was really fun, Halloween. We haven't done it in some time because I've lost my connection to M80s. So, anyway, amen. Good story, huh, Wayne? Good times. What's that? What about Thomas? Thomas, you got married, right? Thomas, what is your bride's name? Christy. And you got, on Valentine's Day, huh? Congratulations, Thomas. Amen. New beginnings. Thomas, new beginnings. Amen. So I was told we get out at noon. Is that correct? No, anyway. Some of you didn't laugh about that. Anyway, today I want to talk. I have a message, and because you may not see me for a while, I can put a title on my message, right? And if I had to put a title today, and you'll understand as I go through this, it's called "Is Jesus Enough?" Is Jesus enough? And you know, I'll have to use some notes today. You know, I see Pastor will have like 50 pages of notes, and he never looks at them. But I have to look at my notes. I think about Jesus as enough, and we're going to hear in a little bit. I want to read some scriptures from Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And John, who's taking Bill Boy's place, thank you, John, for he's on the job training. So tell him after church you appreciate him. Literally on the job training. Thank you. So cut him some slack if it's not going as smooth as he's learning that. But is Jesus enough? And what does Jesus offer us? And I give some examples of things we'll ask God or the benefits. We'll see the benefits of serving Christ. Is there some benefits? Absolutely. Absolutely some benefits. But I give some examples of the things that we pray or we ask God. I think of my wife, Gina, we've been married 32 years. And yeah, 33 years of marriage. It goes by fast. As young as I am and Phil, it seems amazing. But I remember, you know, if you've been married that long, you're going to have some times where there's some struggles, right? Yeah, I mean, it just if you tell me you haven't, I don't think you're being truthful. But I had a grandmother who passed away several years ago, and just talking about things we asked God, and I was telling her about some of the struggles I was having as a young man in my marriage and kind of complaining to my wife, and my grandmother said, Chad, I remember one time you told me if God would give you Gina as your wife, it would be enough. You would never ask him anything. Lord, if you'll give this woman to be my wife, it'll be enough. I was shocked. My grandmother was a sweet gal. She knew how to just put it as it is. Is it enough? Was it enough? Reminding myself, is it enough? How about an example of a job? Sometimes if you'll seek a job or an opportunity and you'll pray, say, God, if I could have this job, if you give me this opportunity, it'll be enough. It'll be enough. I'll be fulfilled, Lord. You ever felt that way? I've been there. Opportunities. Lord, if I had that job or that opportunity. Or meeting any lifelong goal, whether it be education-wise. Or something you think about that you work towards. And you say, Lord, if you help me with this, it'll be enough. Lord, it'll be enough if you help me meet that goal. Or have you ever heard this one? Lord, if you get me out of this jam, I'll never ask for anything again. I've been there too. It will be enough, Lord. Get me out of this jam. Anybody ever been in a jam before? You ever prayed, Lord, get me out of this jam? How about this one? Lord, I found my church that I fit in. Lord, it's enough. Lord, thank you for this church. I love this church. Thank you for what you're doing in my life here. And you get into it a few years, and then you have struggles with people. You have run-ins with people like a Chad. Or put your name in there. You know, run-ins with a person, because none of us are perfect, right? Well, sometimes we'll think, Lord, if I find that perfect church, it'll be enough. What about all the disappointments we face in life, right, that we go through? In other words, we have to ask, sometimes we have to ask, Jesus, are you enough? Jesus, are you enough? And to be honest, we know he's enough, but sometimes with the struggles and the situations or the attitudes we find ourselves in, I have to ask myself, Jesus, are you enough? You know, we're not alone. There's somebody in the Bible. This story of John the Baptist, and you guys have heard of John the Baptist? Yeah, John the Baptist. He was the forerunner before Christ, right? Baptizing those, talking about Jesus. He who comes after me, I can't even tie his sandals. The Spirit will be upon him without limit. But even John the Baptist, he sent one of his disciples. He's sitting in prison. This amazes me. Man, he heard the voice of God saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He heard that. And then he's in prison. He's in a tough circumstance, situation. And he sends one of his disciples to Jesus and says, are you the one that we're looking for? Or should we look for another? Wow. Could you imagine? Can you believe that? The struggle, even John the Baptist and the struggle he was in was unsure. Jesus, are you enough? Is this what it was about? Is this all there was, Jesus? And even John the Baptist in his situation, we know Jesus went on to give a soft answer. You know, God remembers, if even in Psalms 103, we're going to read some of those scriptures here in a minute. If you go in, I think it's Psalms 103, verses 14, it says that God remembers that we're dust. Remembers, you know, our frailties. Amen? Anybody here got some frailties? So I want to read real quick. And so what I did is I started preparing for this and say, Lord, what do you want to say to our body this morning? Us, brothers and sisters in Christ here. And I started reading Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And I'm going to read verses through verses 12. I'm reading in the New American Standard. So if you've got your Bible and it's the King James, right? But I'm doing it in the American Standard Bible. I just want to read a few scriptures here. And mind you that as I'm reading these, this is King David. He's forecasting, he's foretelling into the future. This is not at the time, he's not talking about that current time. Not at all. As you read through it, you'll understand because they were under the law. But bless the Lord, O my soul, as we start here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Did you get a chance this morning as we were worshiping just to focus on him and I bless you, Lord? Sometimes putting things aside. Sometimes when it says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, it says, and forget none of his benefits. By the way, when we're blessing the Lord, it's just saying, Lord, with all my heart, I'm just focusing right on you, Lord. I'm going to put everything aside. And Lord, I'm just going to bless your holy name right now, regardless of what's going on in my life. Because King David is really talking about our day. He's talking about the new covenant. He's not talking about his time then, because it says in the Word of God that the sacrificing of bulls and goats can never take away sin. So how do I know he's talking about the future? If we look at bless the Lord, verse 2 again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. None of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities. We're talking about pardon, remove. I'm not going to remember them anymore. You're free. There's nothing held to your account anymore when it says pardon all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Continue on in verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us. Amen about this. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Blessing the Lord, watching over the Lord. And I want to go back as I was looking at this and preparing, and God was putting this on my heart. I kept right there at verse number 3. Verse 3 saying, and this is what it says again, saying, who pardons all your iniquities. The first one, we talk about the benefits. Matter of fact, sometimes you have a job sometimes and there's benefits that come with it. Things that belong to you. Things that you have a right to with a certain job. But if you don't know about those benefits, can you take advantage of them? No. Absolutely not. But it says to forgetting all about his benefits. And as I was preparing for this, I kept going back to this word, who pardons all your iniquities. You know, it didn't say forgive all your sin pardon all your sins. And we know that sin means what? That missing the mark. You think of a bow and arrow, you know, all the laws of God. So we're trying to hit, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness, lying. And we make a mistake. We miss the mark. We all miss the mark, right? When we talk about sin in itself, all of us can miss the mark. But in that scripture, talking about pardon all your iniquities, it doesn't use the word sin. It also doesn't use the word transgression. It could have used the word transgression because we hear the word transgression throughout the Bible. But transgression means rebellion or breaking trust with somebody or falsehood. It's actually being in covenant with somebody and then we walk away from it. And God had that old covenant, but what did the children of Israel did? They always kept walking away from that covenant. So it uses this word iniquity. And in today, our modern English, we don't hear the word iniquity very often, do we? You know, to young people, like these strange biblical terms. But let's take a look at this word iniquity. As I was looking at this, I started understanding that the benefits of God sometimes are not taken advantage by his people because we get stuck in this thing called iniquities. So I wanted to look and say, what does iniquities mean? So as I look at iniquities in the Hebrew means perversity, moral evil, fault, mischief, punishment of iniquity, sin. Of course, sin, we know that missing the mark. It's also a primitive word of the Hebrew word is avon, but it's also a word from ava, do wrong, turn, twisted or crooked. People can crooked ways, crooked paths. Before I knew the Lord, didn't many of us walk down crooked paths? We're going to talk about how the enemy tries to keep us in crooked paths even now, even though our spirits are born again, how he tries to keep us in crooked paths so we cannot take advantage of his benefits. It goes on to say that the word iniquity, twisted, crooked, guilty, that word meaning you're guilty. This word iniquity also refers to people that are hurt by the iniquity of others or abuse. Those that who are wounded or hurt by the actions of others that are crooked or perverse. When we talk about iniquity, it's talking about those who have experienced awful things in life. Man, the iniquity that God wants to cleanse us from goes deeper than just trying to cleanse us from our sins, but it's also to heal a heart from things that have been experienced in people's lives. Deep things that maybe people will carry or they'll just get used to over a lifetime. It'll keep them down. It'll keep them from not partaking or understanding God's love or his favor because stuck in a thing called iniquity. I think for some reason this thing called iniquity can become like a ball and chain around people's necks. You know, Satan is always looking for a weakness in our lives. Always something we can keep focused on this thing, iniquity. Remember, iniquity is those things where we're still struggling, still crooked in some areas. Or things where other people have hurt us. If the enemy wants to keep us focused on the past. People say, no, I'm well going on in the future. I'm not thinking about anything in the past. Really? Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about that a little bit. I like this word on 2 Timothy 2:19. John, 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Well, what do you mean, apart from iniquity? What do you mean by me departing from iniquity? I thought my iniquities were cleansed by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus. So what could it mean by this depart? What, as a church today, what could he be talking about in 2 Timothy? Also, I didn't read John, that's the scripture in 2 Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us," talking about it for a body, by the way. I wanted to put this as a body. "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." You want to know what you are? You're peculiar. If you know Christ Jesus, I'm sorry, but you're peculiar. You got a specific purpose. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You got something in you that the world does not have. Amen. That's what we're talking about, peculiar. You have something in your DNA now that God has for you as far as giftings and callings and purposes that the world doesn't have. And that's what it's talking about, by a peculiar people. And then it says zealous of good works. And we'll talk about that. So what could it mean when it says, what could depart mean for us in the church? As I read this, I wanted to talk about failings or even achievements. So I want to talk about regret real quick. He took the punishment, right? And I think sometimes regret, we got to realize as men and women of God that we're not dealing with anything like skeletons in the closet, really. Does anybody, you know what you're talking about, skeletons in the closets? A lot of times people have things that they're not proud of, things in their past that maybe nobody knows about. Not their husbands, not their wives, nobody. And sometimes these skeletons, we say, yeah, I'm not walking in the past at all, but these skeletons will keep us from walking forward in God. I'm telling you, I know as much as I'm standing here that things from the past will keep people from walking forward in the things that God has for them. Skeletons, past relationships, past wives, past husbands, past whatever, missed opportunities, things like that, things that people are involved in, things it's like those things that they say, yeah, God's forgiven me, but there's still like a shame there. Things that people have done that kind of keeps them, they don't feel like they measure up in their minds to other people. They'll put themselves at a level here because of things that they've been involved in the past. I want to tell you right now, regardless of what you've been in the past, his blood has washed your sins away. You don't have to think of that or put yourself on a level other than anybody else. It doesn't matter your or what you think about other people or that they performed in their life or haven't done things you've done. I'm telling you, we're all washed in the blood of the Lamb. Skeletons, things that people, they'll say, no, I don't think that that's affected me still. We have a lot of things in our society, people's choices. Man, you can go down the road of things. People involved in relationships they shouldn't have been in. We talk about abortion, different things, lifestyles. I'm telling you what, God has washed those things away in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Also, past, how about past? People can get caught in past successes. Man, if only I could go back to those old days. Or somebody regrets. I've heard people talk about, you know what, if I hadn't messed up that relationship. They'll live in a regret for a relationship that you can't do anything about now. We've made mistakes. I'm going to tell you what, we all have made mistakes. There's nothing we can do about the past. Don't allow that to keep you in a place of not taking advantage of God's benefits. Amen. Achievements. People can also have a family name. Though I have a good friend that in my line of work where he's had a lot of struggles in his life, but he makes up for it because his family is well known in the area. He identifies with a family. And so he can't get past even where he's at because he can't, his struggles, he he just pushes them aside and he just lives off what his family's accomplished. Nothing to what God's done in his life, but what his family's accomplished. In thinking with that young man, it's like, man, God wants to accomplish things through you, regardless of your past, your mistakes. God wants to go forward with you. So are you sure your past doesn't keep you from taking part of God's many benefits? Even past achievements, like I said, can keep us back. I want to talk about something here that, as I was preparing, that was really on my heart. Past wounds are wounds of the soul. We talk about what causes wounds to the souls. We know of physical abuse or even verbal abuse. Some people can't forgive. We live in a society, I think, sometimes and today, that we're not supposed to forgive. That somehow you're going to have to pay. Or I can't forgive you. But I'm going to tell you, not forgiving can keep a person back. Me and my wife know a person, this young, she's 50 years old. And she has this thing where she was abused by her father and she cannot forgive him. But the thing is it keeps this guard, it keeps this wall up to where she can't even have a relationship with other people. This deep abuse, she can't forgive him or let that go and let God heal that thing. It's like an open, festered wound. I can tell you, regardless of past wounds in people's lives, the Lord wants to heal those things in Jesus' name. Sometimes people get so used to them that it's just, we don't conquer, we just cope in life. And past things just to get layered over with scar tissue, but it's still there. Sometimes maybe something, somebody you know, your wife or your husband or a family member can touch that thing and then it'll come out. Pain, but you know, biting back. You know, or things that we can do, responding. I'm telling you what, God died to heal all of our wounds. Sometimes we'll get people, like I said, that will just, these wounds will fester, not knowing that God wants to heal these wounds. How does God heal these wounds, that things, disappointments cause wounds, family members? You can have, let's say, twin children. And let's say you raise them in a different home. Let's say you raise one where it's a good, loving home, right? And it's a healthy home. I mean, what's a healthy home anymore, right? We all have some, right? Come on now. Let's say a healthy home where somebody's, a child's encouraged, right? They're built up. Their self-worth is, you know, that they're valuable. And then you have another one where let's say that they're, it's abusive. They're put down. They're told things you'll never measure up, or things that'll go right down to your soul. And you tell me that those two individuals aren't going to grow up looking at life differently. You say, you heard that saying, sticks and bones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Man, that's not true at all, right? So I want to say, as far as past things, regardless of a child, relationship, God wants to heal those areas in our lives. He doesn't want us to carry those. Amen? Amen. I like the scripture, putting this up, Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I'm going to say that again. Listen to this scripture. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I love this next scripture right here in Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed he will not break. It's talking about those that have been bruised. How can God take people out of just bad situations of abuse and change their lives? Utterly change their lives. Is it possible that God can take things from the past where it does not have effect on our future? Absolutely. A bruised reed, you could say, Jesus will not break. He won't cast you aside. You're of worth to him. In a dimly burning wick, he will not extinguish. Somebody that, man, I'm on the verge of giving up. Don't give up. He loves you. If you're here today, if you've been on the verge of giving up, I just want to tell you, he loves you. Man, he remembers that you're dust. Sometimes you think, well, I can't measure up. Man, there's something inside you maybe that God wants to heal and touch. He wants to set free. He wants to bring freedom in your life. He loves you. You're not less than anybody else. He loves you dearly. Enough that he died for you. Amen? bruised reed he will not. I think sometimes it says those who, I wrote down, those who live in perpetual brokenness or sorrow find it hard to overcome a constant deep fear, as an example. Or just below the surface, there's that anger that's always simmering. A simmering anger right underneath the surface. I've been there. If you're a man, you've probably been there to some degree. Sometimes all of that is right underneath that. It's just a wound or hurt that God in our lives just wants to heal. What is really the root of fear? A lot of time it's pain or a wound. I love that song that Becca sung this morning. Have you guys seen the video of that song? If you've seen the official video of that, Fear is a Liar, he's singing it in a prison. All these rough, tough guys, as they're lifting their hands and praising God, fear is a liar. Even in those situations where fear is probably as great or greater than anywhere else. Amen. We thank you, Lord, this morning that our hearts before you being open. Another thing I wanted to mention, sometimes when I was talking about that gal that had that abuse with her father that couldn't forgive, she says, you know, God's helping me. But I want to tell you, as far as walking and healthy as a body, it's just not vertical, it's horizontal. It always goes this way. Did you know you can't be truly healthy and grow in God's grace if it's not going this way with his body? Man, it's impossible. I've seen people, man, I've got callings, I've got gifts, but they're never able to work within a body with others and have relationships this way, and you just can't operate in your gifting and callings without it going this way. Amen, horizontal. It's never, I've said it before, there's no holy hobos, right? It's a body. It's a body, amen. God's purpose. If you're in business, you know that it's got to be relational. You got to be able to work with in relationships, right? So with God, a lot of times with people with wounds or hurts or past things, they've got these walls up, and I've seen it. It's like, no, God's got my back. God's gonna tell me what to do. I don't need anybody else's input, and so they've got this wall up, and they can't relate this way. God designed us as a body to relate this way. We'll read a scripture. We're at our best, brothers and sisters. You're going to be at your best in your calling, your gifts, your job, whatever it is, when we're operating with God's love going horizontal. Amen. Do you agree with me today with that? I've had to learn that as I've been in this body for 10 years, as I've learned to serve and overcome things when you get strife. I mean, there's strife. Man, I've had seasons of growth. When I've been able to overcome those things, that what iron sharpens irons. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Been able to take godly criticism. Is it criticism? No. Correction. To help me grow. But I tell you what, working together is when we're going to grow at our most in him. Amen. Our relationship. The scripture there in Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, this is speaking of Jesus, but you know the Word of God says, as Jesus is on the earth, so are we. It says, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. Other people seeing what God is doing in our lives. As a light, I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. And is there another part of that? Yeah. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Amen. As we are in relationship, proper relationship with one another in the body of Christ, people can see it. What is that scripture that says? They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Our growth, our healing, our maturity in Christ is always going to come as a group. And we're saying that here because if you're here, you're part of what? Chino Valley Family Church. The next thing that, and we're talking about what keeps us from taking advantage of God's benefits. That iniquity, what I just talked about, that iniquity of being caught up in the past or regrets. Anybody ever been there? Goodness. I've met people that are like in their 20s that are like acting like it's all over. It's a lie of the enemy. It's funny, but it's true. They're saying, man, the things I've already done in my past, it's like, man, it's too late. It's too late. That's a lie of the enemy, regardless of your age, using regret or holding in woundedness where we don't. And the way that woundedness, not just with this, but in relationship with others, God heals those wounds. I don't know how that works, but it's His Word. And I've seen it work in my own life. The next thing, as far as what can keep us from taking advantage of God's benefits, right? How about this one that on my heart is resentments. This is one that the Scripture talks about in the resentments. And so this one is in Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Well, we're part of the grace of God, right? We've obtained the grace of God. Well, what is he talking about here in Hebrews where people might miss the grace of God? It goes on to say that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You know, bitterness is one of those things that through those hurts or resentment and unforgiveness, this thing that can be a part of our soul and actually can come out in every direction. You've ever seen somebody that's real bitter? Yeah, they can be bitter and angry about something, a subject or something, but it really in their hearts, it's not even about that. I think about my wife one time, we were ministering to a couple, and they really had a call of God on their lives, and a resentment had developed, we found out, with somebody else in the church that they were working with. And so as we were there with the wife and husband, she's focused on what's he watching on the computer, and he's drinking too much. And so all this down the line, this wife is really concerned and hammering, you know, kind of hammering on this guy. And as we began to speak with him, met with him a few times, it comes to turn out that there was just a resentment in his heart towards another brother. And as he dealt with that, this other stuff went by the wayside. He wasn't able to be in fellowship, proper fellowship with his wife. He wasn't able to be in proper fellowship with his brothers and sisters at the church. He was acting out in other ways with addiction. And all of it was a resentment. And I was amazed because I didn't know that. But as we began to talk with him, and as the Lord revealed that, and as that resentment was dealt with, this other stuff went by the wayside. I said, man, you're amazing, God. This thing of resentment can come out in different ways that I couldn't believe. And I tell you what, with the body of Christ, the thing that can destroy people or shipwreck their faith more than anything is a resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness between brothers that or sisters that can come our way. That is the number way the enemy can shipwreck us. Brothers and sisters, let's not hold any resentments. Let's not hold any unforgiveness. As we read Scripture, let's be willing to forgive one another. Let's be willing to talk with another and work those things out. We're the body of Christ, and we're at our best when we're humming together in God's purpose. Amen? You say, why are you talking about these things, Chad? Because it's what the Lord showed me that can keep us from walking in the benefits of God as we get caught up in these things that start consuming us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's what the enemy wants us to focus on. The Scripture, Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath, and this is talking about between brothers and sisters, let in the church of Jesus Christ, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Malice means you're wishing harm for somebody else. You love to see them not doing well. You love to hear that things aren't going so well for that person, a sense of satisfaction. You don't like to hear somebody that you maybe got a little jealousy or envy or strife with doing well. You prefer to see them not doing so well. That's what malice is. But it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Amen? Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. Amen, Father. Father, we thank you for our hearts being clean before you. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts, that your Holy Spirit shine a light. Lord, you've shed your blood for us. You've forgiven us our sins, but those things that we allow to take root or things that can get us focused on the wrong thing, whether it be the past, things in the past, we let those go in Jesus' name. Father, those wounds that we need heal in our life, Father God, help us to enter into proper relationship with other people, to put walls down as we trust people, Lord, so healing can come that way. You know, when we put walls up, what are walls put up for? Those people are not going to hurt me. Isn't that what walls are? I love it when I see people in this body in the 10 years who have come and maybe won't talk to people. I don't know their past, but wounded individuals, and they've been here maybe 6 months, 9 months, 10 months, a year, and all of a sudden, or even longer, I'll see those walls start coming down, and I see God start bringing healing to that heart, healing those wounds of things, who knows what things, horrible things, horrible experiences. But when and letting those walls come down and talking about iniquity, those things in our own heart that maybe other people have done to us that have made us kind of crooked, our paths aren't straight. We're not able to see things clear. We're not able to understand God's benefits for our lives. Father, we thank you today that we'll see the benefits that you have for us clearly today. Lord, we thank you that all resentment, Father God, that our hearts, Lord, we don't want to be resentful towards others. Maybe it's husbands and wives, Lord. We thank you, no resentment, Father. Those things that'll just take root, and then we just live with them. And then it's just not quite the way it should be in harmony, a relationship. Is it easy to do? Come on here. If you're married for any amount of time, you know you've got to work at those things to forgive one another, that resentments don't set in, or unforgiveness that can affect a relationship tremendously in Jesus' name. And I tell you, those things will keep us from seeing the benefits of God in other areas because our eyes will be focused on those things. And Father, we thank you for showing us today, Father, as we deal with those resentments, Father God, whether it be in a relationship or other people in the body of Christ. Amen. And I'm looking at you and I'm like... Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Just real quick, as we talk about, I want to move on, and then I won't be much longer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saying that myself. As he's working in us, you know, what is it about his spirit that works in us? How does that? You know, in the Old Testament, they followed the law, right? But he puts the law in our heart now. Isn't that amazing? He gives us the ability to see clear, to let go of things, right? To walk in harmony. Lord, thank you for allowing us. Some of us, man, we haven't walked in that freedom maybe for some while. Maybe there's been some things that have kind of taken root. Some resentment, some angers. It's easy to do. And then we start just living with it. We start justifying it, but really it's hurting us as a body because we all play a part in this body. If you go to the church here, we need you. We need you in this body. There's no member here that is not needed because we have different abilities, giftings, talents. We know that we need those who are blessed in their finances to give to churches, amen, to pay for the lights, amen. We need those that can sit up here and blabber, I guess, amen. We need those that work in kids' church. We need those who are janitors, amen. Me and Bob Reed did it together, didn't we, Bob, for a few years, but he did a lot better job than me, so I think I got replaced for that reason. But we all have a purpose and an ability. Amen, Father God. We thank you for those weights that we can carry sometimes that we don't realize for years, decades, unforgiveness or resentments, disappointments. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can take those things off. Lord, we can be free from those things. Sometimes it's been decades, years. I was telling you about the gal that wouldn't forgive her father for abuse. I understand. But man, as she's learning to forgive and let that go, she can be in proper relationship with her. This way, she can be a blessing to her church. She can be a blessing at her job because she knows how to walk in proper relationship. God, I just want to put these things. Hebrews 10, 14 through 17. For by one offering he's perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. That means the Holy Spirit right now is talking to you as we read this. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart. Amen. And on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, His Spirit lives in you. Trust that. As He's speaking to you today, you can trust He's speaking to you, right? As He challenges us, don't run from it. Don't be fearful. Sometimes we can run from those things. You can trust Him. He lives in you. He's speaking to you by His Word, His blood that was shed on the cross for your sins. So what does this law in my heart mean? What does it look like? You know what it looks like? What I realized as I was studying this out, what's that mean? Is it's not like a hammer and He's not stamping His law on my heart, right? But you know how it is? It's because His Spirit lives in us. The scripture of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this is how His law is in our hearts now. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit that lives in you and I. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience. Thank you, Jesus, for patience. Don't you just love patience? Kindness. Well, that's a tough one when you're in the business world. Kindness is at a premium. It's like a taboo. It's like, I wish I could be kind, but people are going to take advantage of me. Seriously. Sometimes we think people take advantage of us if we're kind. But that's a fruit of the Spirit, Lord. We thank You for kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. Lord, we thank You this morning as we're going to wrap this up, Lord. We're going to go back and read, matter of fact, John, we're going to go back and read Psalms 103 together, those scriptures. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we want to understand and take full access. We want to take of Your benefits. And Lord, we want to make sure that iniquity, not iniquity because I'm living in sin, but those things that sometimes get lodged in my soul realm, regrets, the past. Lord, we thank You, no more regrets. Can't change yesterday, can we? Even Paul says, I got to forget those things that are behind, right, of pushing on, because what he went through as far as the church, persecuting the church, but also, Lord, thank You for a right relationship with resentment, toward resentments, free of resentment. Father, those wounds that You allow me in proper relationship with others in the body, those walls can come down. Lord, others can minister to me. Something about the body of Christ ministering to one another brings healing to a life. Amen. I don't know how or why, but it is even just hanging around in fellowship with the body of Christ. I'm not even talking about discussing or having to be in a Bible study, but just hanging around one another can bring, it's like medicine to my soul. I don't know. It's amazing how fellowship can affect us. How it can bring healing to a heart. How it can change our focus. Those resentments, Lord, in the body of Christ. How many people have been destroyed because of unforgiveness or resentment? I don't mean to keep going back here, but Lord, Father, that we will let those things go in relationships. Those with one another here. To be parents and children. Forgiving somebody in the past. Like I mentioned the example. Lord, we thank You for healing there. As we get ready to go, let me read this again to you, Psalms 103, can I? Lord, thank You for giving us ears to hear. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Amen? Forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, all those crooked ways, all those confusing ways, all those wounds and hurts. I thank You, Lord, that they are healed. Who heals all your diseases. Amen. Anybody out there who heals all your diseases? Man, this is foretelling when Jesus said, by my stripes you are healed. All your diseases. I want to go back to 3. It says, Jesus pardons all your iniquities. Jesus who heals all your diseases. Jesus redeems your life from the pit. Amen. Jesus crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Jesus satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Regardless of your age, thank you, Lord. Renewing our strength. Who needs some renewed strength like the eagles here? Especially tomorrow morning. Thank you, Lord. Monday's our favorite day of the week, right? You know what they say about Fridays? Don't worry, Monday's just around the corner. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Man, I'm telling you what, God has seen some of these things that have happened in people's lives in the past. Those things might have happened, but He's with you. He can use you to touch other people's lives. Thinking about the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. Did you hear that? If you want to watch an amazing video, it's called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, and you can see it on YouTube. Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. But anyway, they don't treat women very good in Iran. I don't know if you know that. They treat them like second-class citizens. They don't treat them any better than dogs. And to hear some of the testimonies of women, that women in Iran is being the move of God in Iran is being fostered by women. Women coming to Christ, coming to know them, becoming leaders in the church there. But to hear about a gal, I don't know, she's you know, they changed the voices because of the persecution in Iran, and the women are got their faces covered. But to hear a woman who was allowed to be raped by somebody from the time she was 5 by her dad, and to deal with that through her whole life, and to hear her testimony saying, when I went to my dad's funeral and that man was there, I said, I forgive you and you hold no power over me whatsoever. This woman healed and used of God, not carrying any of that. That's amazing to me. That's an example of God healing wounds and things in people's past. Isn't that amazing? Amen. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Do you believe that this morning? Slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Boy, do I know that. You do too, brothers and sisters. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He's talking about into the future. Striving meaning that man's sin and wicked ways, his iniquity separating him from fellowship. He's saying in the future that's all going to be dealt with. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. Fearing Him meaning, Lord, I know You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the only way to eternal life. Lord, the fear of the Lord, knowing God, I know You love me. I know Your word's true. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. I just want to read 2 more scriptures that I didn't have up there before. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And then finally, for He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. Amen. Our weaknesses, even in our weaknesses, right? He's with us. As the worship team comes, as we stand together, do you love Him this morning? Does this quiet crowd love Him this morning? Amen. 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 Father, we thank you together. We're going to sing that song. As we are dismissed, we're going to sing that song again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. As we sing this together, can we just say, Lord, thank you for your benefits. I'm reminding of what you, by your blood, you've not only purchased me by your blood, but man, Lord, you've offered so much for us. As your children, as his children, really, what can we give him but our lives? We can only give out of what he's given us, amen? I don't know about you, but I want everything he has to offer. I don't want to forget any of his benefits, and I don't want anything to get in my way from receiving his benefits. How about you? I don't want to allow anything in my life to trip me up, the past. Hurtful hurts in my life, Lord. I want to give those to him and say, Lord, thank you for healing that. I want to be in proper relationship with others, even when you have to navigate through relationships with others. It's not easy. Amen. Hello, if you've been on this earth for any amount of time, you know that relationships are not easy. But through Christ. And then, I think there's one more scripture I have to read. I'm sorry, guys. This is the end of the last scripture. It is important. I didn't want to miss this one. And I don't know if you have this one. Yeah, okay. It says, the end of all things is near. We don't know when he's coming. It could be any time, right? It could be today, tomorrow. It could be 10 years. I understand that. But the scripture says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be a sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. You hear that, body of Christ? Keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. Means I can forgive you and you can forgive me when we have misunderstandings, right? Be hospitable to one another without complaint. That's kind of that thing of hanging out. We're a brother and sisterhood, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. You know that song, We Are Family, All My Brothers and Sisters and Me? Is that a gospel song? It sure sounds like it, that first line, huh? And then this is really important. Can you hear this? If you don't hear anything, as each one has received a special gift. Did you know you've received this? You've got a special gift? Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for all the giftings and the abilities that you placed within our lives for one another as a body. We thank you, Father God. It takes time and to grow in those things. Doesn't mean you have to know that right now. I tell you what, when you are when God uses you and your gift for the body, you can do better on your job. You can do better on your business. I'm telling you. Your whole life feels like it has more purpose. Because our purpose is not just outside these walls. I mean, there's purpose, but it's also as a body together and serving one another in love. Thank you for those special gifts, Lord, you give it each one of us. As we sing this song, we'll be dismissed. If you'd like prayer, I'm going to ask Mom and Dad, if you come up, if you can come up for the prayer. Kim, if you can come up as well. If you need prayer, just someone to agree with you this morning, we'd love to. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, he loves you. He gave his life for you. If he's speaking to your heart this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Amen. We'd love to agree with you. Thank you guys for listening to me this morning. Amen.